Antigone. 1, 2, 3, 4. I count the moments and say the Bismillah in my head. In the name of God, most gracious, most merciful. It's up to me now. I'm scared. My hands are shaking, my mouth is dry. I cast a look back at the mountains where I've spent my life, where I was born, where my family died. All my family, that is, except my brother, Yosef. I remember what Yosef said before he set off to storm the fort. There are moments when, in order to be master of a situation, you have to go mad and keep your head at the same time. I remembered this as I turned the wheels of my cart and trundled down the sloping track to the square field and the fort. They've leveled everything here. There are no trees. There's no vegetation. Not a semblance of shade. The earth is dry and cracked and already scorching hot despite the early hour. Dust swirls about me. The sun blazes down on the drab earthworks of the fort. The ground is scored with boot marks and the tracks of many vehicles. Piled up on one side of the fortifications is a jumble of rubbish. Discarded oil cans, bent iron posts, and plastic bags and buckets. The only signs of life are occasional metallic glints reflecting the rising sun, and a vertical line of smoke. This arid landscape could not be more different than the fertile green valley I started out from. It's a desolate prospect, and yet I've spent my entire overnight journey across the mountains waiting for this sight. As I push against the ground with my hands to propel the cart forward, I think of the precarious mountain trails and can hardly believe I've made it here with nothing more than the strength of my puny arms and shoulders. Some of my muscles are raw to the touch. Like open wounds, others are dead to all sensation. The stumps of my legs, only recently healed, have begun to bleed. The constant thrusting forward required by my journey has rubbed the sutures raw. I ignore the pain. I ignore everything except the fact of my being here. I tell myself that I am here because my heart is huge and my tenderness real. I am here to bury my brother according to the tenets of my faith. That is all there is to it. A body covered with buzzing flies bars my path. I feel the bile rising up my throat. With a sense of unreality, I lean out of my cart and turn the body over. It isn't Yosef, but a youth lying with his face down and a bullet hole through his forehead. Blood has congealed over one eye, the other is closed. I let him go and recite the janazah over him. Some distance away, another body lies huddled. It's Rahmat, one of Yosef's men, his black turban unraveling in loops as I raise his head. Rahmat was immensely strong. He could lift an entire filled oak with one hand. Now the lifeless hand rests limply against mine. I let him go and sit back in the cart. A flock of crows wheels impatiently in the air. High overhead, a vulture flaps its wings and prepares to land. A flag at one corner of the fort snaps like gunshot in the breeze. Already I feel worn out. My brother was a fool to attack here. Behind its multiple barriers of barbed wire, sandbags, and mud and stone walls, the fort looks impregnable. I move forward and approach the third and last body lying in the field. It's Behram Gul, the oldest of Yusuf's companions, who once brought me a posy of mountain daisies when I was a child. His open mouth is unnaturally red, his hennaed beard encrusted with crimson muck. Behram loved to sing. Then the talib came and he fell silent and tended to his fields. But lately he'd taken up singing again. His voice echoes through my head as I leave him behind. Behram's daughter, Anissa, was my closest friend before she died in childbirth. Now they will meet again. I envy them the good fortune of their reunion. A puff of dust kicks up from the ground to my left. I see it out of the corner of my eye before I smell its burning scent and hear the high-pitched ringing sound.